It is the Northwest 200 this weekend. I'm joined by Steve Parrish, BBC commentator and former podium place here at the Northwest, Steve. For people back at home on the Isle of Man who are not 100% sure about the Northwest course, and just talk us around it and tell us a few points about it.
Well, the main thing about it is incredibly fast. It has certain similarities with the TT course, of course, because it's a road track and it's very bumpy and it is a street circuit. But the key to the Northwest 200 is having a fast motorcycle. It was known as the 9 mile triangle. And in fact, when I came and raced here initially, I think it was 1986, if there's anyone still alive that can remember that far back. It was literally that. You didn't have any chicanes or anything else like it. Now it's been made a fair bit safer because you go off of the start and finish line and it's Millbank Avenue, Primrose Hill, down to York Corner, where you go right the way back to first gear and then climb the hill. And then in my days, it was just a long, long straight, probably about 4 miles all the way down to Coleraine. But now you've got a roundabout to encounter, Mill Road roundabout, still through Station Corner and then down to the left-hander at University, over the Link Road to what we call the Magic Roundabout, but it's really the Ballasalle Roundabout. Now, as I say, in my day, you went a lot further down towards Coleraine and everything else. But the difference is, of course, the motorcycle's a lot faster now. Around the what we call the Magic Roundabout, the wrong way around it, and then up to Mathers Cross, which also used to be incredibly fast, fourth, fifth gear corner. Now there's a new chicane that was put in there last year. Then it heads off to the McRoboy chicane, where it also slows it down, and then away you go down towards the Metropole. And again, that section without the Mathers Cross and the McRoboy chicane used to be absolutely flat out for about another 3 miles, but now it slows in two occasions. Turn left at the Metropole, back through Church and on the Coast Road, which is probably the nicest part for most of the riders because it's got lots of corners, lots of bends where you can actually make up time through your skill and trepidation as opposed to just the speed of the bike. Through Juniper Hill chicane, which was never there in my day, and back to the finish line. But I don't know, there's something very special about the Northwest because it is a lot about, obviously, your skill of riding, but also about the tactical side of things. An awful lot of slipstreaming goes on, and I can remember vividly, and it still happens nowadays, you've got to get yourself in the right position, particularly on the last lap, because you want to be able to slipstream someone down into the Metropole and then make yourself very wide up to the finishing line. But there's something about this event, and it was Jonathan Ray, actually, that described to me today that the Northwest 200 is like the Glastonbury of motorcycling. It's a proper event.
It is. Let's just talk a little bit about the slipstream, because everybody's tipping Alistair Seely to go off and leave everyone behind, but it doesn't work like that here, does it? Once you get a toe, you can stick right with them.
Yeah, you very rarely make a break unless you are incredibly fast and you have an incredibly fast motorcycle and somebody behind you makes a mistake. It's very difficult to get away because you just sort of think you've got away and then all of a sudden you're used as that the motorcycle to punch a hole in the air and everyone closes up. And you've got to be probably 100 yards, 100 metres in front of someone to get away from them in the tow. But then what happens is that they start getting a slipstream from one another and get the slingshot towards you. So very difficult to make a break around this circuit, and that's what makes it close racing.
And people that have seen it before, they've seen the helicopter shots from Station down to University. You know, the guy in 10th place could well be leading when you get to that left-hander.
It's quite extraordinary, and that's another thing that you have to do. You have to be very bright with your engineers and yourself to get your gearing right, because it's no good where you'd normally go to a racetrack and you set your gearing up to be maybe 200 revs underneath the rev limiter. Well, here you maybe need 1,000 revs, because if you get a big tow from someone, it can give you 15 miles an hour, maybe, you know, 20 kilometres difference down the straight. So there's nothing more frustrating than you can get a tow with someone, then you hit the rev limiter and you can't actually use it. It really is criminal.
You know, people back home, the Isle of Man TT, it's often billed as the ultimate in any road racer's CV, but the Northwest 200 visually is quite spectacular, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the big differences, of course, it's a mass start. Everyone gets off together. But most of the guys here, I can guarantee, will be thinking that this is the practice session for the TT as well. It's very much the way of bedding yourself in, the high speeds, of course, that are going on, setting the bike up for the bumpy roads. And it really is a precursor towards getting to the TT. But nevertheless, it still stands very much on its own, because I think it is the fastest race meeting in the world. The speeds that they're up to now. It gets slower, actually, each year, because I believe I'm right in saying that the outright lap record around here now went to something like Keith Hewan, which was back in 1981, because there was no chicanes and everything else, and he was riding a TZ 750. But That's kind of where it's at. But it is very much about getting your bike sorted out in readiness for the TT, but also the guys, it sounds pretty good on your CV if you've won the Northwest 200.
The purists will say all the chicanes have butchered the Northwest 200, but just driving around it compared to some of the other road racing circuits around the world and around Ireland, it does feel like a pretty safe place.
Relatively speaking, it is, because the fast parts are straight, but also the organisers here have slowed things down so that there's not a lot of houses and brick walls around it. That's the nice part about it. They put decent kind of ramps on the curbs and everywhere else like that. And we've seen one or two pretty bad accidents. I remember Guy Martin had quite a big crash here, but at Black Hill, but he walked back and got on the bike and went off again. So, yeah, I'd say that's why we get more and more what we call kind of circuit racers that come to the Northwest 200, because they kind of worked out that it's a fair bit safer than your average road race.
And speaking of circuit races, one of the top boys here this weekend is Alistair Seely, and he is tipped to walk away with the lot.
You wouldn't bet on him not winning five races here this weekend. He has the best chance of all of them. He's got a great team behind him with the TAS team. He has had a few problems here today, of course, and they're frantically working on it. They thought it was just a minor adjustment, but it's got more and more serious. So I know that the TAS team are back with the dynamometer, and they'll probably be going to Kirkstown or somewhere to test the bike. But absolutely, Alistair Seely, he's the perfect size. He's on a great bike, and he knows the circuit really well, and he's right bang on top of his own form.
And if any team can get it right over the next couple of days, TAS Suzuki, certainly that team. Away from Alistair Seely, who else should we be looking out for?
Well, a few surprises out there, and it's the granddad, as we call him, Michael Rutter. The Ducati is working ever so well. I've watched it out on the track. It handles really well. It's got a lot of speed. It's not maybe the most powerful bike, but you've got to remember the Ducati, being the V20, is very narrow. Aerodynamically, it's very good, and it doesn't matter how much horsepower you throw at something, it won't punch its way through the air unless it's very aerodynamic. So that seems to be working for the Ducati. Martin Jessup's been going extremely well, but there's a lot of what are called dark horses out there. Gary Johnson also, right on it, loves those Hondas that he's riding at the moment. And there's always Cameron Donald, Bruce Anstey and the boys out there. So I think we're in some really good racing, but what we do need is some sunshine.
Yeah, weather-wise, on the Isle of Man, if it rains, they don't go. Over here, I believe that's not the case.
No, it isn't the case, but it always throws a spanner in the works for a lot of people out there. And if it is wet here today, Michael Dunlop would have to be, Ryan Farquhar, the two local lads that are used to racing roads in the rain. It depends a lot. Wind problems, rain problems, there will be some issues, and it won't be nearly as good if it is wet. But sadly, the forecast doesn't look good.
And you mentioned there Michael Dunlop. He's not scared, is he?
They're absolutely not. He is probably the kind of gung-ho guy out there that just gets his head down. We saw what he did at the TT 2 years ago. And I think if I had to put any money on anyone, if the conditions are a bit tricky, it would be Michael Dunlop. And he's got some great bikes this year.
He has indeed. He's on the Paul Bird Kawasaki's. This weekend then, it's behind the red button Saturday morning. First two races right the way across the UK, and then online, bbc.co.uk. Follow the links on there, you'll find it. And of course, the two highlights programmes, Sunday and Monday night, well worth a watch.
Yeah, looking forward to those. The guys over here put a great... Everyone's so passionate, I think, about what's going on. And, of course, we've got another show tomorrow night as well, I think, on BBC Northern Ireland, which is a preview show.
Indeed. So BBC Northern Ireland, Sunday night at 10:20 and Monday night at 10:35.